Hello there, neighbors, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, number 131, September 1st, 2005. It's good to have you with us, recording at the Little Ranch House Studio, right here on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we'll talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. The host for the show today, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Mr. Tom Houston, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, good to have you with us. My name is Tom Houston, by the way. But here he is, folks, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show, Phil Parr.
Well,
all right.
If you wonder where Patterson is today, I almost don't believe this myself. They're pouring concrete for the new pavilion. This will be an attached to an addendum to the swimming pool.
Yeah, back, concrete.
20x40 swimming pool.
20x40 swimming pool. I would imagine. I bet this pavilion is 500 square feet. It has a bathroom and a shower and facilities out there, and I think probably lots of benches and sitting around areas, and I think maybe a bar.
Hey.
And so, you know.
Maybe worth going to see, huh?
How bad could it be?
Wouldn't it be a nice place to record a handyman show this year overlooking the swimming pool? And
we could take some mics and the Plextalk and that six-channel mixer and do the audio. Just sit there and do it and then bring it back here and put it together.
We could, couldn't we?
Won't we do that?
We ought to do that this fall.
First Tuesday that the weather's cool.
Yeah.
We'll just sneak over there and do it.
That sounds like a plan to me.
Well, we're recording this this is Thursday, the first of September. And on Monday, last Monday, the big hurricane came through and wiped out most of New Orleans. And so our sympathy goes out to all those folks. I don't think we have anybody on the list from New Orleans, do we, Don?
I don't think we do.
But it's quite a thing.
Man, it is.
Major natural disaster. They still don't know what the death toll is going to be. They really don't. They really, I don't think, know much other than just trying to feed. And like we were talking about, if they told me to leave that a Category 5 hurricane was headed for my city, I think I'd boogie like the Bee Gees do, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it'd be time to look for a way out.
You would make like a tree and leave.
That's right. Hit the trail like a. You know,
yeah, that's right.
Get out of here. Anyway, I've had hurricane refugees all week, and just one of the notes I wrote was, if you intend to obtain comestibles from this appliance, please remember that it cannot do its job unless you, and I mean you, close the door. Seems like a simple concept to me. Obviously, some of you don't get it. Thanks, Phil. That's one of the notes I wrote. They didn't speak to me after that.
Uh-oh.
And I also discovered, like I told you a while ago, I've discovered that the old axiom that out-of-town company and fresh halibut are about the same. After 3 days, they both start to stink. they've been here all week. I love them, but heaven knows nobody enjoys a joke more than I do. But anyway, George and Jim have gone over to New Orleans to see the damage of Jim's house, and Barbara has gone to a hotel for a couple of days so I can read. Just an hour. Just sit in my chair. You know, in the same way at your house, they turn the television on. Nobody's watching it, but it's on.
Yes.
Why?
My mother-in-law sits in front of our TV
and watches
all the time. TV Land, the old shows, the old Andy Griffith shows and stuff.
Yeah.
She just loves it. But she's asleep most of the time.
That's the problem, huh?
Sound asleep over there snoring and the TV's on.
But, you know, I can't keep up with her much in the house. So you go in the living room and say, hey, what are you watching? And nobody answers, and you realize that, you know, that they're running the stock quotes, and no one's, you know.
Yep.
I just go turn it off every time. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've all survived the week, and we're all here, and we got. Oh, by the way, these people had two dogs. I just told Tom, I'm thank God they weren't sheep herders. We don't know what the hell we did.
Yeah.
Anyway, email, I guess.
Okay, some list mail here. It says, hello, listeners. My name is Jason, and I'm a new subscriber to the list. My wife and I are in the process of buying our first house. My handyman experience is little to none. Can anyone suggest some resources for some basic tips on home repair techniques for a blind person? Is there some sort of frequently asked questions list for this list? Also, Is ACB Radio still archiving the shows? It looked like the last show was from November of last year.
Welcome to the list, Jason. First of all,
yeah, welcome to the list, Jason.
Glad to have you.
Yes, I don't know. Are they? What about the archives? I never know.
The archive. The deal is on the archives is that they're each week after the show is broadcasted on ACB Radio, the show is podcasted, and the links to, I believe, to listen to the show, or to download, or to subscribe to the show podcast is at the bottom of every message that's sent to the Blind Handy Man list.
You set that up, right?
No, actually, our good moderator, Dave, set
David
that
Farron.
Up. So, yeah, he sure did. So he's been working overtime here lately.
So that every message that you see on the Blind Handy Man list, at the bottom it shows you where to go get the podcast.
That's right.
How long are those left up there? Like, could I get a podcast of 3 weeks ago show?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, boy.
I think they're... Okay. I'm not sure how long they're up there, but I think I understand a good ways back. So
if you have this podcast, this player, then you don't have to have an MP3 player. I mean, you can go and just download it as a file to your computer, and if you have this player, you can play it back. Is that right?
No, it's actually a podcast client that downloads, and you use whatever player you use, whether it's Winamp, Windows Media, to play back the file.
And so you can go get any show since they started, at least since they started podcasting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which has been now 2 months.
Yeah.
So the recent shows, and I think the old ones are archived, maybe up to 110 or something.
Yeah, the old ones are archived.
But they're not available for podcasting. They're just there as a WAV file that you could either stream or download. Am I right?
Yeah. At some point, maybe they'll get them where they can be downloaded into the podcast client. But as of right now, they haven't.
And as far as tips for blind handyman, blind people repairing things, we need some more specifics. We have on the Blind Handyman list, if you're not a member, we have an expert on almost every subject, or we have guys that claim to be experts on
that. That's right. And that's what I was going to say. The archive of the list is a great, great resource, because every message is archived back from message number one that's ever been posted on the Handyman list since the day it
Good
started.
Good Lord.
So, it's a great resource.
So, you know, didn't you say that Chili Blind Man left us?
He did. He took a hike.
Wonder what happened to him.
I don't know. I may call that guy at some point.
Because, see, this guy had a degree in refrigeration.
Yeah, talked to him. He was a real good guest. And if nothing else, probably time to get him back again as a guest. So.
Anyway, almost any question you ask, one of us has done it. Or tried it, or thought about it. So come up with some specifics, and we'd be happy to answer just any question you put on the list. Like if you want to build a deck, and you put on there, I want to build a 10x20 deck, how do I do it? I guarantee you, you'll get 15 messages back on how to do it, and one of them will absolutely describe in depth how to do those. I mean, we've done about everything, wiring, building, you know, about everything there is to do. So give us some specifics.
Anyway, that's right.
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, it says, "Hi all, I have a microwave problem. The doors seem to get stuck when you close it. I press on the button and it won't open, and the button almost gets stuck in as well. I've checked the levers that go into the housing in the microwave, and they're moving relatively freely up and down, so it doesn't look like it's a problem with the door. Is there a way to fix the button? Will a bit of WD-40 help at all?
No!
If I squirt something into the slots, I'm just afraid that I'll get a permanent smell of WD-40 on my food, on all the food I put in there. Is this repairable? And if so, how can I go about doing it, or is this a write-off? Thanks to all, Victor."
Well,
you want to feel that?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit of silicone spray or something to spray in there. But we sort of had the same deal with the new microwave we bought has just a handle on the door. I like that. It's just like one big handle on the door, and you just pull it out. No button to punch, no nothing. You just open the door.
You just open it like the fridge.
Yeah, like the refrigerator, which
mine
I like real well.
The same way.
But the microwave we had before this one, you had to push a button, and hopefully, if it worked right, the door just popped open. And we sort of had the same issue from time to time, and just kind of cleaned around with soap and water, just around the door facing, around the latch, just kind of cleaned around in that area real well, and usually got it to stop sticking at that point.
That's what I was going to say. Clean around the door and make sure that the door's not sticky or around the gasket or around something. But I think that's a physical button that actually flips a lever and shoves the door open, isn't it?
Yeah, I do too. I think it is.
It isn't a solenoid that opens the door.
No,
it's just
a physical
button.
Mechanical.
So just, you know, try soap and water or try some actual. The tuner cleaner I use now is called LPS. And they make a lubricant that comes in a can, and they also make tuner cleaner. And this tuner cleaner's got a ball in it, like a can of paint.
Yeah.
And you shake it up, and it's the best I've ever seen. It's a little more expensive, but it does the job. And I've never noticed any smell like you have with WD-40. So you might spray the mechanism of the button, but I'd sure make sure soap and water would probably do you more good, sir. Is this Victor, he pronounces his last name, Govea? Yeah.
Govea, yes. I believe, from Canada.
We've got to get him doing something. Has a good voice. We've had him on as a guest.
Yep, we sure have.
Very literate. Does write some nice posts to the list. We need to, I need to, maybe if I'd apologize to him and do him an intro, he could get him to...
do us something here.
Yeah.
Where do you purchase this LPS?
I got it at our favorite hardware store.
Okay, so just your local hardware, or maybe Home Depot or...
Home Depot or Lowe's or anybody have it, but it's called... Paul Abney turned me on to it. He said it leaves no residue.
That's
and
a plus.
It's not like WD-40. I mean, it's just a cleaner, and you can spray it in a volume controller or anything, and it would... you might get a can of that, but I'm saying soap and water would probably do your job there, sir.
Okay, all right. Moving right along. Hi, Liz. Excuse me. I have a cracked toilet tank. What are my options for fixing this, and is it a doable deal for blind people? Can I just replace the tank, or will I have to get the toilet hole or toilet bowl and tank replaced? Thanks for the help. Sincerely,
Kevin.
Kevin
Doucet.
I asked my son about this, and he said it depends on where it's cracked. If it's cracked up toward the top, you could probably patch it in some way, but you cheapskate, go buy a new tank. It's just two bolts that hold it on. Disconnect the water line first, and then just buy a new tank. Come on, Kev. You have to miss beer for one night.
Yeah.
And you can have your new tank. We'll come over and help you put it on.
Of course, you've got to buy the little tank nowadays, because I don't think they make the big one. I heard they didn't make the big 5-gallon tanks or whatever anymore. So
you're kidding.
But I guess it ought to fit.
Someday my 5-gallon tanks will be worth something on eBay. I can selling a 5-gallon tank.
But
you don't think so, huh? Well, I don't. I'm not sure.
I don't know. That's a doable.
Absolutely.
Two bolts, and just don't tighten them too tight. Don't want to crack the porcelain if you do manage to find a new tank. So
now you're not putting on a tire. Just remember that.
Yeah,
you know, so don't snug it up there with the impact wrench.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because you crack that porcelain if you do. Take the water line loose, and while you're at it, put a new flex hose there where the old water line goes, because that'll be leaking eventually.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Put the little new flex hose on, and put your new tank on, and you'll just be flushing in heaven, Kevin. Kevin, flushing in heaven. Just slipped out there. Sorry, I'm trying to do better.
If anyone out there knows routers, and in particular router tables, has a few minutes, I would appreciate your comments about the cast iron router table for sale at Harbor Freight. I've never heard of Harbor Freight, but anyway.
No. Me neither.
It ought to be stable, but I don't understand how the fence works. If I read it right, that fence is only a little over 10.5 inches long.
Yeah.
Anyway, any comments really would be appreciated. I have worked around and with lumber off and on all my life, but I have never used a router. I have been given a router that the buyer found to be too heavy for their use. Seems to me it should work well on a router table. Joe.
Well, it will if it'll mount. I mean, if the bracket's right and it'll mount, it'll work. It'll work fine. The router table, what you're doing with a router table most times, now there are other uses for routers too, and I'm sure we'll get some comments, but what you're doing most of the time is just you're rounding off or shaping the edge of a piece of wood, Donald, right?
I agree with that, yeah.
So what you want to do is you want to set the router blade where it comes. I mean, the router table is just a table with a router hanging in it. And the router blade, the router actual thing that shapes the wood, comes up, sticks up through the table. Are you with me?
Yep.
And then you got a fence, and you set that fence so that the edge of your board slides right along that fence, but the router blade does not come up even with the top of your wood. In other words, you're just taking or rounding the edge of that wood off, or you're shaping or putting a little design on the edge of that wood. So you want the fence to be straight in line with the router blade, as straight as you can get it in line with the router blade. And I do it by just looking at the table, because the table's always got little slide things on it, or little marks on it, and you just line it up and make sure that the board edge comes in contact with that router blade. So you take a small board and you push it up there, and with the router off, you look and see where that router blade is going to meet the board. And then all you do is start the router and slide the board along, holding it very tight against the fence and holding it flat down. And you could do with a 10.5-inch fence, you could do a 50-foot long board if you had room.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep it against the fence. Along. Keep it against the fence, slide it along, and it'll cut a nice edge on your piece of wood. But get some old scrap wood and try it first. It's because you got all different kinds of. I've probably got 20 different router blades that would do all kinds of little edges. You can cut a trench in a board with a router by moving the fence back and positioning that board like you want to. You could cut a little slot like you would with a dado blade if you wanted to tongue and groove something. Anyway.
I just have a side note to add to that. The router fence, and I'm not sure, I don't remember if your fence is like this or not, but some router fences I've seen have a little rounded out, for lack of a better word, place in the fence that can go like just right around the router blade in order to give you a really close edge against the fence
feeding
the board through.
You mind in the middle, it has a in fact, it's in two different sections. I'm really not sure, but it you're right. It has a rounded out place where the router blade comes up, but you just want just the edge of that router blade to touch that wood, and you slide it across there. If you didn't get it quite big enough, you didn't cut quite a big enough slant or edge on your board, just ease the router blade up. I mean, a minuscule amount.
That's
an
right.
An eighth of an inch, just a 16th of an inch.
Yeah.
Because if you bring it up a half inch, you're going to tear the edge of that board off, and it's not safe. It doesn't come up above the board, so it's really safe for a blind person, because there's no way, if you keep that board tight against the fence, there's no way you're going to get into the router.
Yep.
Because it's below you. Anyway, hook it up, but I'm not familiar with this table he's talking about, are you?
No, I'm not.
Anyway, all right. I sound like sort of the Don Patterson of router tables here. Anyway, who is
Brian Turner, a list member today, is going to talk to us a bit about, well, I don't know, maybe heating and maybe house conversion. I'm not sure what.
All right, well, I'm going to go get a beer. We'll be back in just a minute. More of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on. We're coming back. Great. Blind Like Me list.
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Know about the Blind Handyman List, sir?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the handyman list, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
You're listening to The Blind Handyman. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Well, we travel around the country and try to have a new guest on every week. And this gentleman, from what I understand with Don Shaw, has never heard The Blind Handyman show. His name is Brian Turner. Brian, sir, how are you?
Not too bad.
Not too bad. But you've never listened to the show. Never. You've never heard the Blind Handyman show.
I have to fess up, and all I haven't.
Have to fess up. Well, we'll forgive you. We're very forgiving sort of people here. You have a computer because you're on the list.
Yeah. Yes, I do have. I have so much going on around here. I've been doing the headless chicken dance around here for.
Is that right?
Yeah. The problem is I have two doorways into my kitchen. I run into myself coming through doorways every so often.
Is that right?
I can't see myself coming.
Well, it's nice for an old boy to keep busy, though, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
But you're on the list, so obviously you do some... just a minute. Let me shut my dog up. Hang on.
Frankie!
That's my big dog. She
I
wants
have
in
one here, too. I'm just hoping she keeps quiet.
She wants in here where it's cool. It's nice and cool in here, and it's hot. It's probably 98 out there. And so you really can't blame her.
That's right.
Sounds like one of my ex-wives. Anyway, you obviously you do some handyman things because you're on our list. How did you hear about the list? Or do you?
Actually, I believe through Dale Campbell.
I
heard about his cooking in the dark list there some time back, and I got on that about last August, I believe it was, July or August, and I had kind of heard about the Blind Handyman list through him. I've talked to him a couple different times on the phone.
Yeah. Good deal.
Well, that's as good a way as any.
Yeah, Dale's.
Dale Campbell is one of our favorite people. We're ready for Cooking in the Dark next year. We do about every fourth show, we do a Cooking in the Dark show, and I think they're doing some independent of us. It's our first spinoff.
Yeah, it is.
Cooking in the Dark.
Yeah, what a deal.
Well, he had mentioned they don't have an archive or anything. Well,
He's
figured out otherwise since he's talked to me. I've got over 5,600 recipes on there in about a year flat, so.
Wow.
Now, 5,600 recipes that you have or that...
That I have gotten off the list.
Off of the Cooking in the Dark list?
I've got a folder set up with about 48 different categories. Non-edible to main dishes, casserole, you name it.
Oh, it's a high-traffic list. There's no question about that. I'm a member of that also, and it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, but you've got these in categories. Like if you wanted to do soups, you can just go to the soup category and it'll tell you.
I have one for soups and stews.
All right.
Soups and stews. Well, do you cook a lot?
It depends. I mean, I like to cook every so often. When it's just me, I don't so much.
Yeah.
When I have other people over, I had a lady friend that was here in March for about a week or so, and I cooked three meals a day and the whole works for her, so.
Yeah.
There's people around, I can fire it up the kitchen.
I got some folks that are trying to get away from a hurricane. I guess not.
Send your way?
Yeah. And I guess not. I've had company all week, and when you've got company in your house, it's not your house anymore, is it?
No.
Anyway, so you got on the Cooking in the Dark list, and you and Dale have talked a few times.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be darned. And so you discovered our Blind Handyman list.
Yep.
Well, by golly, since you're on this show, we want you to go listen to it.
Yeah, I think about the first or second day I was on there was a heating question that came up, and I jumped right on that.
That is your area of expertise is furnaces?
Pretty much. Heating and air conditioning. I had my own business for about 3 years. I had worked for someone else for about three, and me and him kind of parted ways on not so good terms, and I started up my own business and was doing real good until, of course, the eyesight went. Kind of had to hang that up for a while.
Yeah, so you were how would you put it, fully sighted for many years of your life?
I had 20/20 vision until I was about 28.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been blind now for 8 years, so yeah, about 28.
So you're about 36 now?
Yeah.
Well, we've talked to a lot of people who've said it's happened to. That's a tough thing for a fellow to have to take, but you deal with what you got.
Yeah. I mean, I've always wondered, you know, what's worse, losing it later in life or just never having any sight. And I'll tell you, especially when it comes to like, stuff around the house, I think having that 20/20 vision all those years has been a good thing. I mean, I can still picture the inside of a furnace, the wiring, and everything else, basically.
And that helps a lot.
Yeah, it sure does. I know where not to stick my fingers, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, when we first started doing all this, I would have disagreed. I would have said, yeah, if you're going to be blind, you might as well start out that way. Well, I've long, long, long since changed my mind because I've met so many people like Dale Campbell who had a life as a sighted person, and who lost their eyes that have adjusted. I would just think that it would be an adjustment that I don't know if I could have made.
I think there's advantages and disadvantages either way. I mean, as someone that's never had sight, of course, when it comes to something like Braille, I mean, that's the only way you've ever learned how to read.
Yeah.
And for, like myself, I mean, I do grade one, no problem.
Yeah.
Grade two, I haven't gotten to it yet, quite honestly.
Yeah. Oh, you don't need
it. You've got someone that has lost their never had any sight. How do you describe certain things? Very difficult.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I was discussing last night at the club, this guy was, we were talking about dreams, and he said, well, do you see when you dream? Well, obviously I don't, because I don't know what it's like to receive information through my optic nerves. I have no idea.
Right.
What that sensation would be like. And so he was having a hard time understanding me not being able to conceptualize. However, I do well at, and Shaw does too, at looking at something, and since both of us have been blind most of our lives, at conceptualizing. Because the one thing we don't have is colors that we don't have. But now you were a refrigeration technician from, and you installed, went to people's houses and put in central air units?
Houses and small businesses, a lot of replacements, a lot of repairs, some new construction. I worked on, I had a contract with a guy doing some apartment buildings. That's a real trick there, because me and the electricians tend to get at each other. I'm trying to run stovepipe, stuff like that, through, and they're running wires across, and it gets a little messy sometimes. But
so these were new apartment constructions that you were working at doing?
Right.
And each apartment's got to have a separate air unit?
Yeah, that's the way they were set up. There were four apartments to each one.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, where I was putting them was in the basements.
Mm-hmm.
Furnaces were going down there.
Yeah.
With the central air was right out back of each apartment. And then running all the air ducts and piping and everything through up to, like, the second story, stuff like that.
Using duckboard or using what? Using sheet metal? Or did you make a duck sign?
Sheet metal.
Really? Still doing that?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's the best.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, that creates less resistance for the air, and it's just the best. But they don't do that much down here anymore. They're using this
flexible.
Yeah, well, they're using either flex duct or some kind of duckboard that you just build the ducts out of, you know.
Well, you know, actually, like with my house here, being a restaurant at one time.
Yeah, now that's a deal.
Yeah, let's just get into that.
What had happened, of course, most of your older businesses and stuff were always flat roof.
Yeah.
Well, I changed that not too long after I came in here because it had an old rooftop furnace that I heaved over the side and put about a 3-foot divot in my ground with.
Whoa.
And, I put a furnace inside because it's a single story. It's a slab. But what I did is put a pitched roof on top. And because that was an old roof and everything, rather than doing a whole lot of cutting and trying to run ductwork through the old ceiling joists, things like that, I used flex pipe for that,
okay,
which worked out pretty good. I mean, the whole place is drop ceiling, so you can bring it through the old roof, bring it right over to wherever your register's at or something. That worked out a lot easier for that situation.
Yeah, with the drop ceiling, you'd have some room, some leeway there between the...
Yeah, it depends on how close the drop ceiling is to the joist.
Now, could you see when you decided this, did this roof project, or this was...
Yeah, I still had the site then. I mean, I still go in there now and tinker around. Usually about every fall, right before it starts getting cold, I go in there, and the closet I built off of another room into the utility room is what I did, and of course, the door to get into it is off of my son's bedroom.
Uh-huh.
But I go in there and basically tear the furnace apart and put it all back together once everything's cleaned up.
Yeah. So it I don't exactly understand. Is it a gas-burning furnace or oil?
Yeah.
Or it's gas-burning.
Right.
So it's dirty. I mean,
it can get there.
They do. That gas furnace is always, they get dirty. You should have them really checked every year or every couple of years, depending on how much. Of course, and down here, we don't get that cold, so we don't use them that much. And so I try to have every...
Illinois, it gets a little chilly.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, because I think last week's guy was from Chicago, wasn't he, son?
Around there somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, about 60 miles south of Chicago myself.
Are you? Yeah. Now, you're totally blind now?
Yeah.
You're completely, vision's completely gone?
Yep.
Now, but this, why did you decide that you didn't like the flat roof? It had worked for 50 years.
There were problems with it leaking and things like that. And
not good.
Rather than going in and try to rubber roof or something like that, I said, you know, I'm going to turn this more into a house. I mean, you don't see too many houses with a flat roof.
That's
no,
true.
You don't see.
What a project, though.
Yeah, hey, it was.
So you built a gable on it. You left the flat roof. You didn't tear it out.
It's still there. Eventually, I mean, this was actually done in 92.
Okay.
Is when I did that, and I was buying this on contract at the time. Well, me and the ex about a year later parted ways.
Because
I didn't want to give up the house to her. I talked to the person I was buying it from, and they said, fine, I didn't make a payment for 60 days, and that basically null and voided the contract.
Yep.
Well, I came back here, 2.5 years ago, and I ended up buying this place.
Really?
Yeah.
The same house that you and your ex had the hassle over, you ended up buying it.
Yeah, about 10 years later.
Now, it was a restaurant between the time you moved out and you moved back in, or what?
What had happened, it used to be a house many, many years ago. I'm guessing like the late 40s or something, from what I'm understanding.
Yeah.
It was a house. Then in the... I guess about the mid to late 50s, they turned it into a restaurant. It was a pizza place. And it was like that until about, I believe it was 84 or 85,
mm-hmm.
And it was shut down. It sat vacant for, I'm guessing, about 4 years or something like that, and my dad had bought it.
Okay.
Because he had a couple of pizza places going in town at that time, and he wanted to kind of cover this part of town. Well, as old as it was and everything else, he got it going. And it was about a month after it opened up, the exhaust fan caught on fire.
Not good.
Yeah, so, I mean, with that, you know, your state health department comes in and says, everything has to go. Well, he just kind of said, forget it, and took everything out and just closed it up.
Yeah, because the old kitchen was probably wooden counters.
Well, it was just, I mean, this place, quite honestly, it was, I mean, I still have the corkboard floor.
Really?
You're familiar with that. It's like...
Yeah.
I mean, I still have that. There's been a lot of places like where they used to have a fryer that basically ate through the cork board, and I took and chiseled all of it out, got down to the concrete, and got out the body filler and started smoothing that out and then sanding it off. And eventually I'm hoping to put a different floor in here. I'm thinking about either laminated wood or something like that.
Yeah. Like, in other words, tongue and groove kind of wood that you... You know, I don't know. We've never talked to anybody that's done that. I have it in my house, and I saw it when they did it, and I thought at the time, hell, I think I could do that. But you got to be the right temperature and the right humidity. I mean, if you don't, it'll buckle pretty bad.
Yeah,
especially, I mean, it is a concern because of the fact this is a slab.
Yeah.
And when you come from winter into spring and summer, you have to be kind of careful. As long as someone is here and living in it, I don't have a problem with the floor sweating in the kitchen. But if the place is sitting empty, the floor tends to sweat.
Yeah.
You know, the first day you get above 90 degrees or something, the floor is in here sweating away. And that tends to worry me a little bit when you start talking about wood floor or something like that. But
you could get in trouble.
Yeah.
You might be better to put on some cheap tile and see how it worked, and then maybe.
Yeah, we've got an Armstrong factory right here in town.
Yeah. Now, what town are you in? You're not in Chicago.
I'm in Kankakee.
Kankakee.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. I have been through there.
Yeah, of course, right next to us is Bradley, and there's a rather large Armstrong plant. Flooring and carpeting and all
that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the line. You're familiar with the song, The City of New Orleans.
Oh, yes.
Well, the train pulls out from Kankakee.
Yep.
So
I can picture the whole thing as he's talking about it.
Yeah.
I can picture it all. In fact, I think I've got that on CD ripped onto the computer.
Yeah. I rode that train from Chicago, the Amtrak train from Chicago down through Kankakee and down into New Orleans. It took all day. It was late at night we got in.
Yeah.
Yep.
No New Orleans to get into anymore, is
it? Yeah.
No, that's for sure. That train's got to make a little bit of an early stop.
So you just said, I'll put some gables on the end of this building, and I'll get some decking, and I'm going to build some rafters. I put up a ridgepole.
Right.
I put some gables here.
What I did on each side, too, because with the flat roof like that, of course, walls, the building itself is all concrete block with a flagstone cap on the outside.
So it would support the weight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
no problem.
That's not an issue. And those walls, of course, extend up about a foot and a half farther than what the roof does.
Okay.
So what I did is I put about three foot walls. And that gives me more than enough room. I can put a couple of rooms up there.
Yeah,
I want to, and that's what I'm looking at here. I'm guessing within about 5 years or so.
Is putting a couple of rooms up there under the gable.
Right, right.
Well, they'll be fine in the winter, but in the summertime, they're going to be hot.
Good ventilation.
Ooh, they're going to be hot in the summertime.
Yeah.
What a house, man. What a strong, big house. Man, what a place to be. And probably in a tornado would be a good place to be.
Yeah, I mean, besides being all concrete block and then flagstone cap, all of the interior walls are all half block.
Really?
Half block with furring strips. Most of it's paneling. I'm one room at a time, a little bit here and there, changing that over to drywall with all the exterior walls. I'm putting all beadboard between all the furring strips.
So if you put up a picture, it's get the masonry bits out. Right?
I tend to try to keep pictures on the furring strips that are holding the paneling and stuff.
What a project. Guys, you got to have projects or you're in trouble, aren't you?
Yep, that's right.
What's going on?
That's right.
Was that Tom that left?
No, that's Don Shaw.
Oh, that's Don Shaw coming in. I couldn't figure out what's going on. I couldn't see. I was in the dark there, just stumbling around here. But you got the furnace, and then this house was a restaurant, and it's your house again. Is it two-story or just a flat?
No,
just a
no little, it's just single-story.
Single-story. Furnace, gas furnace, ran ductwork all through the drop ceiling.
Right.
Well,
it's actually above the old roof for the most part, and then it comes through the old roof.
Okay, well, you're going to have to correct all that if you're going to put some rooms up there. You've got to move all that.
Yeah, there's going to have to be a little bit of work done there, which I don't think will be too big of an issue.
Yeah, well, it gets cold up there, and it gets really cold where you are. I mean, you have hard winters, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Hard,
yeah,
serious 10, winters.
10, 15 below during January is nothing.
Whoa, get out of town. I'm not coming. We're not
and
coming to see
not
you.
Good.
We'll come
in the winter time.
We'll come in the spring, Brian. Forget that winter.
Man.
I can't handle that.
That would be rough.
You're retired, right? You don't work anymore. You don't.
Well, I'm working like one day a week at the Bradley Animal Hospital here in town.
Uh huh.
Oh, that's
neat. He used to say my guide dog here is very well taken care of.
Yeah.
Is this a volunteer? Do they pay you? Or is this
no,
just
I get paid. I get like 4.5 hours each week.
What do you do there?
Not much, but
what do you do there?
Oh, basically a lot of odds and ends, kind of as I call it, peon kind of stuff. I sort newspapers for the cages, take out all the ads and the glossy ink pages, basically put caps on all the vials, and then I end up counting up their prescriptions and everything, putting all that into vials, stamp reminder cards. I mean, I do about 300 to 500 reminder cards every 2 weeks. So, I mean, they've got one heck of a business going there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, do they realize what a maintenance man they've got that they're just wasting?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I have worked on an air conditioner for them already.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
I went to Dallas one time. A friend of mine and I hitchhiked to Dallas, broke as we could be, hitchhiked to Dallas. We stayed in this old hotel, and we told this lady we paid our first night's rent, and we told her the second night we don't have any more money. And she said, well, are any of you handymen? And I said, well, I'll do a little handy stuff. So I took all her fans down. She had old fans in the windows. I took them all down, took all the ceiling fans down and oiled them. And paid for our room for a week, and they're missing a good maintenance man there at the animal.
They sure are
at the animal place.
There's a couple of things I pointed out to him that need to be taken care of. Of course, one of the older doctors that's there, he's supposed to help out doing that kind of stuff, but he doesn't get to it very often.
Yep.
There's just certain things that kind of annoy me. You know, if you hear a blower or something squealing or.
Yeah.
Something like that. It just sits there and irritates me, you know.
Yep. Me too.
I can get in there and work on it.
I understand.
A ceiling fan that vibrates or rattles or something drives me. I just got to fix it. You know,
and by and large, sighted people will say, wonder what that noise is. Well, I know what it is. You know,
I have several people, friends and stuff like that. They'll stop by one day and... They'll come up to the door or whatever and ask me to go for a ride with them. And I figured out what it's about.
They want to know what's wrong with the car.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every time. They'll have this funny noise or something. And,
yep.
And I basically get to sit in the passenger seat and diagnose what's going on, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
this lady that was visiting us, I was telling Tom this story a while ago, Tuesday is a passing through, and she said, I think this plug that I have my computer plugged into is out. My computer is operating on battery. So I got a hairdryer and plugged it into the plug, one plug, and said the plug works. And, of course, she said, well, does the other socket work? Well, hell, yes, if one works, the other one does. And, of course, what we know now, I mean, I knew all the time, is her computer runs on battery all the time. Computer's always on battery.
Like a talking book machine.
All the AC power is doing is charging your battery.
Same deal. Right.
And so her computer's on battery all the time, but she just now figured that out. And that's just, you know, you just want to go, oh, you know, and scream, you poor sighted idiot.
You know, you start talking about electricity there. That was something I think I had mentioned once before. But this place here, of course, being built when it was, number one, they had the old paper insulation up in the roof, in the ceiling. And they had knob and tube wiring, which is basically bare copper wiring on insulators running across the walls and stuff. That's a scary sight.
Yeah.
Sighted or not, that's scary.
Man.
And I had to go through here and basically run all of Romex through the whole house, rewired. I replaced all the outlets because they had some very old, brittle outlets in here.
I bet.
You mean they used to just run bare copper wire through walls?
Yep.
And put it on those insulators that stand them off from the studs.
Yeah, hold it out like an inch from the wall, or
I know what you're talking about. And they just run the hot and then ground it all somewhere else, or what?
Yeah, that's about how it worked.
Man,
some scary stuff, especially when you got wet paper insulation or something like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
I took one look at that and told my dad. I said, "This has got to go." That just scares me.
My daddy ran wire to a garage, and he ran just a wire through the air one time like that. I've never seen it in walls. And what did you call it?
It's called knob and tube.
Knob and tube wiring.
Right.
That's a new one on me. I've never seen that.
Old glass insulators and bare copper wiring.
So if you got a piece of insulation, and that insulation happened to get wet, and you got... It got to ground, and you got a fire.
I would sure think so, unless you're lucky enough. Well, of course, this had all fuses in it when I came in.
That's what I was going to say. It was a fuse box instead of a breaker box.
Right.
You've changed that.
Yes, it is a breaker box now.
Yes, thank God for small papers. Small breakers.
My dad bought it right after he bought it originally.
Yeah.
We had to do a lot of rewiring and stuff for the kitchen because... He couldn't run some of the newer stuff on what was there, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like I said, it was just a scary sight all the way around.
You need to talk to my friend, our friend Charlie. What's his name in Medilla?
Charles converting the old house in Medilla,
New York. That's restoring a 150-year-old house. That's a big old, great big old house. Maybe I'll send you his email address because you and he would have a lot to talk about.
Okay.
Well, sir, you seem to be keeping busy, and we don't want to hold you up. Go cook something. Hell, we'll be up for supper.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah, the weather's not too bad. It's not cold yet.
Oh, I would imagine.
Right now, I tend to do things in what people call a little bit too big of a way. I got a walk plan for October 14th and 15th. I'm going to be walking about 40 miles.
Now, what is that all about?
Basically for October 15th, which is White Cane Day, and then October being Meet the Blind Month, as a way to raise awareness in Kankakee County area and as a fundraiser at the same time.
Well, wait a minute. I didn't know that October was Meet the Blind Month.
No, for the NFB it is.
I did know about day in February was National Take a Blind Guy to Lunch Day. I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not, none of you are buying that, are you?
I am a chapter president for the NFB.
You're a chapter president for NFB for your chapter there in south of Chicago.
Right. It's
around
the Kankakee
area.
Kankakee Heartland chapter.
Well, I'll be darned. And so this is October is
Meet the Blind Month.
Meet the Blind Month.
Besides doing the walk, I also go around to classrooms in several different schools and talk to the kids, do things like that.
Listen, send me some information about that, and we might do a little short segment on Blind Like Me about Meet the Blind Month. Because I wasn't aware of that, I swear.
Okay.
I had no idea. I'm on both lists, and I'm Phil at philparr.net if you need
right.
my address.
I've seen your name on there.
Okay.
Times,
well, sir, you seem to be dealing with things well, and go. It's time for supper. Let's go cook something. Brian Turner's been our guest. Thank you, Brian. Sir, we'll talk with you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
We'll be back with more. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but we're going to think of something here in just a second on more of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on. Be right back. Blind Like Me list.
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. About the Blind Handyman List, sir?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Man, I think that's something. A house that was a house, then converted to a restaurant, and now back to a house. That's quite a story.
What I want to do is call Patty Farron and ask her if Dave really stays on topic.
Yeah, that would be the question, would Yeah.
We need to know these things, yeah.
That's right.
Because we want to know. Yeah, a house, it was a restaurant, it was a house. He was talking about where the deep fryer was. Where the deep fryer was.
Yeah, right? No kidding, man.
They've worn a hole in the floor here. I mean, what a deal.
Yeah, that's
these
wild.
These guys have a lot more nerve than I do.
Yeah, no kidding.
A lot of them do. Anyway, it's my understanding, and I just don't have this absolute facts, but it's my understanding that wonderful oven that we sold you with that Norris Street house went out. Is any truth to that?
Boy,
rumor?
It didn't last long, did it?
It didn't.
Actually, for an oven, it really didn't. I mean, that's...
I don't understand that, sir.
You know, 6-7 years for an oven is just no time.
No, it didn't.
But what the deal is, the way this all started out was that it was just like on a Sunday afternoon. We're just kind of hanging around. I was probably reading list mail on the computer and just hanging around the house. And the oven, man, it just started beeping. And went to back to the oven and pushed some buttons on it, and nothing happened. And pushed clear, and finally, it shut off. It quit beeping. I said, that's strange. I don't know what's going on here. Maybe one of those grandchildren or something has done something with the oven. And anyway, I went back to whatever I was doing. 15 minutes later, I'm damned if it didn't start beeping again.
Yeah.
And same thing. I got it to clear. And after the third time, I got Mary to look at it. And it gave us a code of like F7. And I said, that's strange that it's given that. I'm just going to cut the power to the oven, see what happens here.
So you called the guy.
And I did. I cut the power, turned it back on, and it did the same thing again. So at that point, we called the GE folks, and they said that what code is it giving? We told them F7, and they said it's the board, the main board that controls everything in the oven is gone. It's out.
Yeah.
And a new board is like, I don't know, $250 or so.
So
we figured
well
at that point,
oven.
Yeah, we might as well spend double that and get a new oven. So that's basically what we did.
Was it double that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, ovens have gone up some, I think. It was like close to $500. So.
Man, I didn't realize it was that high. It seemed like this one was... $300, $299 or something.
Yeah.
And it was a nice working oven. I mean, it had all the features that one would need on an oven, the one that you just... That
yeah,
you
did. It did.
And so you took the old one out.
So I said, well, I'll get down there and look at the wiring, and turned off the electricity, and unhooked everything, unhooked all the wires. And I tell you, when you get into big wiring like that, man... Those big wires are, to me, I'm sure an electrician that's used to working with wire, but to me, I'm just not a big fan of dealing with, I'm talking this wiring that the oven hooked to anyway was probably like big, like probably number 8, number 9 wire.
The room actually came from the Birkenbach.
Yeah.
It was at least number 10 or 8.
Yeah, and it's just, man, it's just hard to twist.
Hard to bend.
If
you have the right little needle nose pliers, you can do it fairly well.
That's what I finally discovered. I did use needle nose pliers to make the bends. Well, basically what I did, actually, I bent the wire and then straightened it back out, and then I had the right size wire nuts and kind of twisted the wires together by hand, wire nutted them, and then taped them just to make double sure. But I tell you where the biggest problem came in was stuffing all those wires back into the junction box.
Yeah.
Now, that was a trick. Getting everything back
in there.
You
know, I don't know if I might have. And I thought the reason I say this is because we put a new dryer in, and I don't know if you know this or not, but the plugs on 220 dryers have changed. They're no longer 3-prong plugs. They are now 4-prong plugs.
Really?
They have a big round, like you would find on a normal 3-prong plug that you were plugging in 110 volts that you were plugging in that had a ground on it.
Yeah.
They never have that funny looking that cross thing at the top, and then they have a ground lug at the bottom, and that's the way they make them all now. So I had to change the socket. When I couldn't, the new dryer wouldn't plug in where the old dryer plugged in.
Yeah.
I had to change the whole socket. And so I changed the whole socket, but I bought the kind that you just push a wire down in and tighten a screw, and bingo. Strip the wire, push a wire down in, tighten a screw, and it's there.
Oh, that'd be great.
So you might have been easier to just put a plug on the end of that wire and plug it out of an end.
Yeah, no kidding.
You could have done that.
It might have been. It might have been easier than all that twisting and jamming all that into the junction box. But one thing I say, with the new Kenmore, they gave plenty of wire. I know you guys had talked about that the wiring on the GE was really short.
Oh, man.
And I just got to say, I guess since we have no advertising, no funding, so it doesn't matter what we say about whose product. And I have to say, I had the GE oven,
yep,
and the Kenmore sitting side by side in the on the playroom floor, sitting,
yep,
together, and just looking over the Kenmore versus the GE, just like in the quality of the ovens, the material they were made out of, and uh-huh, just everything considered, I have to say the Kenmore, to me,
was a better
like
oven.
A much better built oven than the GE.
And besides, it had longer wire on it.
And it had longer wire to boot. So whatever that's worth, that
little
review.
But you're back up and running. But is this oven, can you run it, can you operate it? Just last question.
It actually is fairly blind friendly because, yeah, every button you punch, it beeps. Which is a plus. So, yeah, with some dots put on it, it would be real blind friendly.
So you know when you push a button, you did something.
Yeah, you know you did something. And then the other good thing is the default setting is like 350, which is mostly
When you turn it on, it's 350, and all you need to do is turn it up and down. Then from there, if you know how to do that, you got it.
That's right, up and down button.
Right,
and then it beeps at you. It does one long beep when it gets to 350. So you know when it's even up to temp. So, yeah, it's basically...
You mean if you moved it down to 320 and then you went back up to 350? Stop that. When you got it back up to 350, it'd make a long beat.
It sure would.
It's like a good oven. All right, we got to go. Thank you, Don Shaw. Appreciate you, sir. Thomas Houston Vick?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for coming and being with us. Don Patterson will be back next week. I promise. He said he'd come whether Dale was here or not.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see about that.
Thank you so much. I'm Phil Parris. He said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.